Rolling, Dave.
And once again, welcome to another exciting edition of City Spotlight Special Edition. Dave Krieger, RJ Malloy, and Studio A. And it's just incredible the amount of feedback we got from last week's show with Dr. Judy Mikovits. She has a long list of scientific credits since she got her BA from the University of Virginia, her PhD in biochemistry and molecular biology from George Washington U. She's been at this for 35 years, trying to understand and treat chronic diseases, studying immunology, natural products, chemistry, epigenetics, virology, drug development in just over 20 years. She rose from an entry-level lab tech to become director of the Lab of the Antiviral Drug Mechanisms at National Cancer Institute before leaving to direct the cancer biology program at Epigenics Pharmaceuticals in Santa Barbara, California. She's got over 50 scientific papers published on this, at least one of which has been tainted and published. She's explained that in the last program. We wanted to have her back on. She's consented to come on the program again. Her new book is out now, Plague of Corruption. I've read it cover to cover, skimmed it two more times in addition to reading it cover to cover. RJ's reading it now. There are people who have actually emailed me and said, I'm reading the book. I got the book. It's fantastic. When's she going to be in town? I want to take her to lunch. I said, no, we got her by phone. The book is supplements this video that's now on the Mercola website, Plandemic, discussing what the government's not telling you and all the cover-ups that have occurred. Dr. Judy Mikovits has founded the MAR Consulting, Inc. with her collaborator, Doc Frank Rossetti, who she has spent years and years in the research business with, her mentor. And I've asked people, Dr. Mikovits, to supply me with questions, and boy, did we get a bunch.
Great. It'll be fun. I should just say that because of the plague of corruption, the 37-year relationship with Dr. Rossetti and I had to end, and we had to close Mark, Inc. It was a consulting company because his family, who is still in the business, I should say, will not fare well in their career. So we stopped the company about a month ago.
All right. So this basically now looks like it's become political in that respect.
It was political in 2011 when they took out our paper in Science and our entire career. So we continue to try to move forward. And Dr. Rossetti will continue to be my lifelong friend. And I know he'll always answer any questions I throw his way. We're just not formally connected in any way anymore.
Right. Well, we've got a couple of things that just came across the pike. Gilead Sciences has disclosed its pricing for the COVID-19 treatment remdesivir, which now I'm like, wait a minute, this is an AIDS cocktail.
Right.
You know, they're going to charge $3,120 for patients with private health insurance. And if you're covered by government programs like Medicaid, you're going to be charged $2,340 for a typical treatment course that basically breaks down to $520 a vial for private health care and $390 if you're on a government-sponsored program. And in other countries with national health care systems, socialized medicine, whatnot, is $2,340 per treatment course that it's going to cost. And I'm looking at remdesivir and I'm going, wow, you got a hydroxychloroquine, and zinc and all these other treatments that they've been downplaying. And now all of a sudden, Gilead Sciences has remdesivir. And I mean, besides what looks like to us as a money grab, and it's one of the questions that was asked by one of the doctors, even though Gilead says it could result in $12,000 in hospital savings per patient, my biggest concern here is why remdesivir?
Because the government and the powers that be have patents. Gilead is one of the companies I'm familiar with from my days in HIV/AIDS. This clinical trial, I think doctors can go back to the highwire.com Dale Bigtree show a few weeks ago, where Dr. Peter Bregan and others, talked about really looking at the clinical trials for remdesivir, which Tony Fauci rammed through very quickly. They never satisfied any kind of benefit, and so they kept adding patient numbers or controls or removing the people that got hurt by the drug. It essentially has little benefit compared to hydroxychloroquine and zinc, compared to hyperbaric oxygen therapy, compared to type 1 interferon, that very first immune therapy I made, by Merck, discontinued it. It's off patent, obviously. It's been 40 years. Type on a single vial of type 1 interferon, Alpharon, human type 1, FDA approved for at least 40 years, very low dose, could protect 1,000 people. The vial costs $600 a day. The course of treatment would be for 1,000 of the most vulnerable to protect them, 50 cents. Two doses a day, $1 a day, a $600 vial. That's obscene what Gilead and the government is doing.
And didn't we just give Gilead a whole bunch of money to develop this, the government? So isn't this a tax?
No, I mean, that was
dollars?
For a vaccine, RJ.
Yeah.
Correct. So Gilead's made the AIDS drug, and I can go back and make the comparison. There's a drug called Genvoya, which is a highly active antiretroviral therapy, a triple drug combination that literally, because of what AIDS activists won for us, because of the contaminated blood supply, because of how, the events of the 80s, how HIV/AIDS was covered up and spread through this country, in part through a contaminated blood supply. The AIDS patients, the HIV-infected individuals get Genvoya, is one of the drugs. There are many made by Gilead for $25 a month. So you and I, and in fact, those HIV-positive individuals don't even have to be citizens of the U.S. It costs Medicare, Kaiser, the insurance, $1,000 a month for the 1 million Americans that were at the height of HIV/AIDS. It was 1 million Americans infected. And that $1,000 a month has been covered by the government because of the corruption. And that's what is in our movie Plendemic. That's what's in our book Plague. And that's what's in our book Plague of Corruption. And this is why they took out my so-called tainted papers. It was actually 2 years worth of work. And the paper was never proven wrong. I just refused to renounce the data. We replicated our work on more than one occasion. So did Lasker Award winner Harvey Alter and another scientist who I won't name, because they then become forced and their careers are destroyed. So at any rate, this is the money grab. This is the cover up. This is keep people well. A cost savings of $12,000 in the hospital. Well, you never have to be hospitalized if you could give these natural product therapies, chlorine dioxide, things that have been, all kinds of vitamin C, vitamin D, sunshine, and certainly don't wear a mask. It's worse than obscene. It's just criminal of what's happening here.
Right. And so, some of the things that have happened of late that have really bothered us. Various states have shut down the nightclubs and bars because they claim that they're hot spots for the coronaviruses. So far, I haven't heard about the beaches being closed except in South Florida here. But, I mean, I'm still waiting from these governors and people that are doing this for the scientific basis in fact. I wonder, do they have any scientific basis in fact? And if so, what would it be? How are they able to make decisions to just arbitrarily and discriminately close businesses that they deem are popular hangouts for people to congregate?
Yeah, correct. They're There is no fact. There is no discussion, as was said in my case. The science is settled. No, science is never settled. We continue to learn every day. You can find, in fact, it was great. Our pastor put this weekend, our pastor came up and he had three papers in one hand about a mask. And he had three papers in the other hand about the benefits of masks and then why you should never wear a mask, who's at risk, the kind of data we've had and we've been showing. And we just wrote a book that'll be published, a pamphlet, if you will, on the case against the mask. With references. And he said, you know, it's all about interpretation. And this is what the sermon was about with respect to interpretation of the Bible. And yet we're not allowed to interpret. We're not allowed to see the data. Here, non-scientific governors, people with no training throughout the world, people who don't have 40 years experience in immune therapy. That's by definition what a vaccine is. Immune therapy, teach, educate the immune system to prevent and treat chronic disease and infectious disease. No education whatsoever, no data to support. And in fact, they're called COVID cases when infection does not equal disease. And everybody's healthy, asymptomatic, healthy people. They're not carriers of a coronavirus. They clear a coronavirus and develop herd immunity and a lifelong immune response. So it's pretty much all the data are out there, and the susceptible are being killed. The people who are the most susceptible will die from the strategies. And that can only be just pure evil and by design, because they know this. That's why we're censored. That's why they take it down. Not just my work, but Dr. Rashid Buttar, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, doctors worldwide for decades, just censor so that nobody gets to discuss, to interpret data in any other way, but which drives an economic agenda and an agenda of control and the destruction of our entire, economy and republic and democracy, over.
Dr. Judy, let me ask the dumb question of the morning, and it goes back to masks. The Sarasota County, where we are, has just passed an ordinance yesterday requiring masks to be worn in all public places. What should the effect of that going to be? I mean, it's going to happen. It started today. We have to wear a mask if we go into the store, if we go into a government building, if we're in the park, whatever that may be. What should we anticipate is going to happen with that from your point of view?
Well, you're going to derive upper respiratory infections. You're going to derive disease. It's going to do nothing for prevention, and it's going to cripple, you know, at least 40 million Americans. The autistic kids have the lowest amount of glutathione because of the amount of environmental toxins. People with lupus, people with chronic Lyme disease, other infectious disease, COPD, the very vulnerable fatty liver disease. Those very people who are vulnerable, and it's more than 50 million American will get sick and can die from that mask. And especially if they get vaccinated as they concentrate the virus. That's why we wrote the book. It's not mandatory. What we can expect and what I pray for every day is that everybody wake up and say, I have a tag on my shirt, which says, I have a tag on my shirt that says, according to the American Disabilities Act, according to HIPAA privacy, I have a medical condition where that mask can harm me in as little as 30 seconds wearing it. Same with my husband. My husband is deaf. He can't hear somebody talk. He can't see what they're saying. This is so dangerous, and we need to stand up. I don't care about the mask. We need to stand up and say no. Everybody needs to call in that American Disabilities Act. We can't ask. This is what the victims of the AIDS pandemic earned us, that we get therapeutics for $25 a dose like we were talking remdesivir. We've got to say, no, the data don't support it. We've got to fight back as a country, each individual taking responsibility for their own health care and saying, I've weighed both sides of the issue, and the mask pose a risk to me and my family, and I won't wear it even for 5 minutes. And we've got to demand our rights. These aren't laws. These aren't mandates based on any kind of public health threat. The masks don't prevent the infection. Even the N95 is 1,000 times. It's micron. These viruses are nano. And they're going right through it. You're concentrating them. You're depleting your own immune system, and you're spreading more virus. It's so dead to make you feel safe. You're not safe. That's like the Gardasil vaccine, the fraud of the Gardasil vaccine. It's increased cervical cancer because these poor children have been lied to and told they're protected, young men, young women. And in fact, they don't get pap smears. They don't get routine things. They don't protect themselves. It's worse than a false flag. It's a protection that doesn't exist, and it amplifies disease. So what I hope we see is what we did last week in Sacramento when we talked before. And that's everybody stand up and say, no, we're the vulnerable, and we're the vulnerable, and it's our constitutional, it's our very basic God-given right to breathe air. And if we don't breathe air, it will kill us.
Right. I understand that. Now, this is the thing. There has been some argument, and we really didn't cover as much as I would have liked to last week in our broadcast, but the validity of the COVID-19 test. Now, obviously, you probably heard that FEMA spent $10.2 million and got nothing but mini soda bottles that don't work. And the validity for the flaws, there's been some debate as to what the percentages are of the likelihood of a false positive test result. Can you elaborate just a little bit on what, you know, some say it's 80% false positive. Some people say if you've gotten the flu shot, you're guaranteed to get a positive, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you have COVID. You could just have the flu, but it triggers a COVID test. I mean, you know, a lot of us are still confused and haven't gotten a clear answer on what constitutes a false positive result and what the likelihood are, because way back when you had, when this thing started in March, in the beginning of March, late February, early March, I mean, there were hardly any tests out there. And then all of a sudden, wham, the entire market is just inundated with these things. And everybody, whether they're sick or not, is running out of fear to go get these bloody tests. And, you know, can you shed some light on the validity of these things and whether or not they're accurate and they're being relied upon wrongfully?
Well, first of all, you don't test the disease. The infection is not the disease. So PCR, the polymerase chain reaction test, amplifying a piece of nucleic acid, a conserved region from a coronavirus, and another novel region, the novel epitope, the ACE2 angiotensin converting enzyme 2, that receptor on this novel SARS-CoV-2. You take a fraction, 100 to 150 base pairs of a conserved region of the family of coronaviruses in that novel, and you put them together, and you amplify a piece of RNA that's less than a tenth of the virus. You have no idea the strain differences. And then what's been done, the FDA itself examine the CDC. Why is the CDC manufacturing tests? It's the fox guarding the hen house, for number one. Number two, the FDA itself on an inspection said the reagents were contaminated. When you amplify the sequences in a laboratory, they go to 45 cycles. Logarithmic range is about 30 to 35 cycles. The CDC is amplifying noise. There's at least 80% positive. It's not the appropriate test. It doesn't measure infectious virus. It doesn't tell you if you've got an immune response and been exposed and developed anything. It absolutely the wrong test. It's never been used as a diagnostic test in anything. If a patient goes in and what they're, it's healthy people. It's healthy people walking around and they're calling them COVID positive. No, the infection does not equal the disease. And clearly SARS-CoV-2 doesn't satisfy any of Koch's postulates or Hill's criteria for an agent causes a disease. And clinically that's supported by data. The serology tests, the antibody tests that are out there, IgG positives, memory immune responses, that's the only measure of a vaccine's efficacy is you develop an antibody. So here we clearly, as a population, developed in, especially in certain hotspots, like here, data from Northern California, UCSC, USC, Stanford months ago showed that by using serology tests, which again are confirmed, you never use a single test and call it positive. In AIDS, if we used an ELISA, we backed it up with a Western. If we use a serology in our work with the XMRVs and throughout my entire career, HIV, HTLV, and one, we back up a test with another form to truly show that the virus is actual an infection and not a piece of nucleic acid floating around in the air. And that's how you get contamination in these things. So the millions of test positive, it's clear that Carrie Mullis, the Nobel laureate who discovered PCR, said not diagnostic, because of contamination everywhere. And so the government, it's the first time ever we diagnose a disease, a healthy person walking down the street by a PCR test. Those are not asymptomatic carriers. You don't carry a coronavirus. You clear a coronavirus with an immune support response. So we've been lied to at every level on every test. We shouldn't be tested. Healthy people walking the street shouldn't be forced to get a test, which is false positive, false negative, compromised in every way by the perpetrators of this fraud in the first place. The CDC, the FDA, and the NIH, the NIAID have driven this plague of corruption, have driven this fraud by the FDA preventing us from getting drugs that are natural products that don't cost $3,000 a week, putting a defibrillator in the hospital instead of oxygen cannulas, preventing us from getting the pre-exposure prophylaxis, preventing that interferon, locking us down to prevent us a natural herd immunity, the mask. On and on and on. The tests are horrible. They shouldn't be given anymore. You don't get a test for a disease. The infection is not the disease. We have millions of Americans walking around with HIV. And by law, you can't ask, and they aren't tested and ever tested. And this is the only reason, you know, this double standard. Why now? Why this? It's a cover-up.
Well, that's what I thought. And a doctor I know that I talked to this morning said he's heard rumors about a new mutated strain of a coronavirus that's out now that's 10 times worse than the original one. I mean, is there any truth to that, or is this just another fear-mongering tactic?
Yeah, I've seen several, and who knows? They don't let us look. They tell you what they want you to know. I also saw another, is it H1N1 or another flu epidemic that's going to come along out of China. So yeah, they're going to inflict these things on us. And it's going to be the same, you know, fraud they've perpetrated for 100 years with flu vaccine every year, H1N1, Zika, Ebola, bird flu, swine flu. It drives the immune destruction. Every single vaccine does damage. They're heavily contaminated. They've never been placebo safety controlled. The combination, it was admitted in ACIP meetings in February of 2019. It was admitted giving Prevnar in one arm, 23 different microbial upper respiratory infection antigens to, and flu vaccine with mercury, Prevnar with a boatload of aluminum, crippling the immune system, driving the inflammation, driving disease. Those shots can kill people. But they sat in that ACIP meeting with Sanofi. Oh, that's not an American company. The pharmaceutical companies begging the ACIP committee, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, four meetings a year held at the Centers for Disease Control, and most of them in military uniform, and those of us who attend held at gunpoint most of the day. This is your bio warfare against Americans, and they knew those that flu shot and Prevnar was killing people, and yet we don't want to retrain doctors, so let's just keep using the combination and the combination was deadly. So you can go and people can find these things out for themselves. All they have to do is show up. The public can go to these meetings. You can see the meetings replayed. I wrote in our book, Plague of Corruption. You know, I can show you. We testified. We added data of support, and it's a large we of people who are uncovering this fraud and corruption at every level of our supposedly public health system. It's horrifying the world we've entered into. And so these are scare tactics, and they're going to keep doing it, you know, and now it's you don't go out of your house without a mask. So who's going to stay in their house all day? So they're going to put the mask on. Rather, you know, I confronted several people in Truth and Love yesterday. No, thank you. Thank you very much. This is my, there is no law. The governor cannot make a law. That's not how law works. Look at our Constitution. There is no law that says American citizens have to wear a mask in order to go out in a public place and breathe God there. We've really got to stop all of this, and we've got to stand up now and say no more.
So, RJ, is Sarasota County issuing tickets and fines if you walk into Publix without a mask on?
They're going to work on that today, and my understanding is, yes, they're going to be assessing fines for doing that.
Interesting.
So we won't be paying them. Well, and if they tax our bank account, well, we have to. I filed a lawsuit. It's all I can do. If you go to freedomwatchusa.com, it's a class action lawsuit. Larry Klayman, go down there. You can sign and be a plaintiff in the class action lawsuit. We've done everything we can. Each individual has to help. Find me. Go ahead. I don't have any money. You took it all away 10 years ago. Not a problem. Find me. I don't know what else to do.
Yeah, let me go sideways with a thought. Somebody brought this up this morning that they've read that the flu vaccine will cause a false positive on the COVID test.
Well, and it's not only a false positive. The flu vaccines, all of them, grown in animal tissues. So if you get the one grown in chicken eggs, which we understand the one called Flucovax, which was never tested, which was the one given to the Italians in January of 19, that particular, those four strains, including H1N1 in that shot, were grown in something called Maiden Darby kidney cells. So you manufacture flu vaccines in animal cells. And all animals have coronaviruses. Maiden Darby kidney cells are dog cells, and dogs have lots of coronaviruses. So that conserved region I mentioned that they amplify, they have to in a PCR test, is the conserved region of coronaviruses. And so you can, because they amplify to 45 cycles, which is absolutely wrong in the protocol description. That's you're amplifying noise. You're amplifying crosstalk. Remember, you're only looking at a primer of 10 to 12 base pairs that sits on the end, and it amplifies, millions of times, and it doesn't have any editing function. So it just stops there and you end up amplifying noise. We're not allowed to look at these tests. And I mean, the scientists, we're not allowed to look at what sequences, what primers they're using. That's called proprietary. So It's the flu vaccines absolutely drive the take up, the infection by SARS-CoV-2. That was a paper published in 2020, but the study done in 17 and 18. So it's called viral interference. Sometimes it's thought, oh, if you give a vaccine for another type of upper respiratory infection by another type of RNA virus, that you can actually generate an immunity that crosses over against some other and protects you against some other upper respiratory infections. But with respect to coronavirus and SARS-CoV-2, it drives the infection. It increases it by more than 30%. So it's more than just false positive. It's, you're giving someone a coronavirus and you're going to respond because your immune system responds to just a single molecule. So you're going to see the animal tissue, the coronaviruses from the animals the vaccines are manufactured in. And that's, it's not a false positive. It's a real positive. It's a real positive. You've been exposed to a coronavirus. We can't tell if it was SARS-CoV-2. So this is another way because nobody will show us the test so we can evaluate the test and show us the validation. Because as you mentioned a little while ago, all these tests pop up overnight. Can't possibly be validated. Can't possibly be appropriately validated. And they're not. And nobody will show us the data. All we're asking for is show us the data.
So the thing is that Dr. Fauci has just recently, I believe, made a statement about 100,000 new cases every day. Well, so what you're saying basically is we don't know which coronavirus they tested positive for, basically, from what you just said.
Correct. And are healthy people with an infection a case? I don't think so.
Oh.
Are healthy people with, are they a case? No, a case is a person with a disease that reported to a hospital. So he's lying, and he knows it.
Well, so
he knows
now,
it. He's not a stupid man.
Yeah, well, I understand that, but the guy also holds patent. Does he not have patents in his name?
Absolutely.
Yeah, what are the ramifications of that? I mean, the man stands to make billions off of this.
Correct, and control the world. And destroy even more, destroy the evidence of the millions, tens of millions he's killed over the past 36 years. And I'm only saying since 1986, since he encouraged, shall we say, with his little pandemic outbreaks, then President Ronald Reagan to sign the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Act, which removed all liability from pharmaceutical companies and for any injury from vaccines and in this pandemic from any injury in any of the drugs they roll out. We just mentioned remdesivir, going to do more harm than good, not tested. You know, the studies done to say it's okay were fraud, just like the fraudulent hydroxychloroquine study. So they control the journals. They control the media. They control everything to say, oh, no, here's two studies, Nature and New England Journal of Medicine, and here they are, and hydroxychloroquine is killing people. Well, yeah, if you use it wrong, it'll kill people. And this is what they've done for 40 years, is drive the discussion towards their patents, towards their vaccines, toward lifelong clients of pharmaceutical companies. From the day our children, our babies are born, they're injected with hepatitis B vaccine. Don't think they're going to be IV drug users or prostitutes on their first day of life. This is what people don't realize. This is why we wrote the books, to show how the cabal, we think our journals are unbiased. They're commercials. They're propaganda for big pharma. So the only wet mask I wear is one that covers my eyes from New Orleans Mardi Gras, because this is propaganda masquerading as science. But it's not funny anymore. It's destroying our economy, our world, and the victims are going to be those people over the last 40 years, the XMRV infected, the HIV infected, the SV40 infected, those with the novel enteroviruses caused by the polio vaccine. They call it acute flaccid myelitis, the autism autistic kids, all the people, these environmental toxins contained in these, in every part of medicine. It's not just the toxic shock. It's GMOs. The FDA's job is to make sure our food is safe. Well, you know, Monsanto, anyone, FDA, hey, 2 years ago, Roundup causes cancer. You know, 500, whatever it was, million-dollar lawsuits, huge class action suits against Roundup. Our food supply, GMOs, they are not safe. It's their job. Defund them, and we'll get our health back. And that's the good news, because of COVID-19, fewer babies, lowest infant death rate in America in recent history, the last decade. Oh, babies aren't going to their little wellness visit and getting shot, getting SIDS, getting killed. Healthier babies in only 2 months. We're going to be able to realize if we all go out there and trust God, trust natural medicine, get a chance to read the data. I'm not talking about my opinion. I always reference data, and I have no problem discussing those data and their interpretation. It's just that the only thing that we're allowed to do is interpret it in the way that this cabal of more than 40 years has told us. We can interpret it. We can all see the result in our country, the poorest health in the world.
Okay. Now, the one thing about we talked about last week, we discussed the blood supply, and you at one time had pointed out that since 2010, it was recognized that the blood supply was contaminated, and you brought up Cirrus because they had the UV treatment system. But we stopped short of getting a clarification on whether or not you believe the blood supply in the United States is currently infected with these coronaviruses and what that percentage might be based on what data you have.
I don't have any data since I was run out of science, but I think if you look at the money Cirrus has made in paying off, I don't believe the blood supply is contaminated. I believe it is being contaminated every day, but I believe they're cleaning it up just as fast. They can't clean up the vaccines with this technology. So I don't believe the blood supply is contaminated because we showed them in 2011 how to clean it up. It was very clear from our studies and those of Shai-Shing Lo and Harvey Aalto who confirmed the contagious mouse cancer retroviruses that the blood supply had been contaminated with since 1991 till 2010. At that point in 2011, the blood supply was contaminated with not only, you know, probably coronaviruses. We never looked, but XMRVs, HIVs, HTLV1s, Ebola, and this method, Cirrus, the technology, will clean up all of them. And I believe that is what they did, and that's what they'll do today, is say Judy Mikovits is an idiot. She made it all up. At that time in 2011, when I reported the data, March 29, 2011, I can show you these slides exactly from the New York Academy of Sciences. It was actually taped. Ian Lipkin presented right in front of me. It was an entire day symposium about the risk to the blood supply with the XMRV and with other viruses transmitted through vaccines. And absolutely, we showed that the Cirrus intercept system would clean it up. So the FDA approved that intercept system in 2014, and that company and the government people who shut down our work are making a fortune. So it's another place where you can follow the money and look at who's making money off the tests and who the FDA allows to manufacture a test. So this is the problem of the corruption in every arm of our government.
I'm going to go sideways again because I have to mull over some of the things you're telling us. When we look at vaccine production, there's no peer review on it. So in other words, the vaccine company can say, this is a vaccine and this works, and there's nobody reviewing that.
Correct. And there's not a safety test. There's not a double blind placebo controlled study. There's not, and there hasn't been one since 1986, since President Reagan said to removed all liabilities with the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Act. And $4 billion have been paid out in injury. And that's like less than 1% because of how corrupt that court is. And it's detailed in our book. So not a single safety test, not a single peer-reviewed publication of a clinical trial, nothing. I mean, it's just the FDA just rubber stamps these every year, and then they get dirtier and dirtier and dirtier, these flu vaccines. And we know that. They've told us, oh, they only work 10% as well. Remember in 2017, and we had that chapter in our book about Timothy Cunningham, the CDC employee said, who was giving these shots and unfortunately made the comment that these shots were killing people. We've done flu shots killing the elderly in vaccine court as expert witnesses. We see that the contaminants are contributing to the cytokine storm. No testing, and in fact, cover up when the data are revealed. That's why the persecution and cover up of me. That's why the destruction of my career. That's why the attempts to kill me and silence me. That's why we were removed from literally all of work after stellar 40 years career. And it continues on to now we had to close our consulting company. What is it you're afraid of if we show you the data? We don't talk our opinion. We show you the data.
So I could form a corporation and call it RJ's Vaccines Are Us. I could put distilled water in vials and sell it for a whole lot of money, and no one could tell me it doesn't work.
Yeah, well, and worse, it would probably kill less people than what's in the vials.
Well, that's why I would that's why I would use distilled water, because I don't want to kill
anybody. I'd use saline. The distilled water might hurt.
Okay.
Distilled water with a little saline, some minerals, that would actually help.
Well,
yeah,
and
exactly.
I think that's an important point for our listeners to grasp onto, is that these vaccines that are being presented to us as if they were well-studied, well-researched, and they work, and we're being told, no, they don't actually check this stuff. They just push it out. And because I'm the corporation and I say that it works, then it must work.
But I'm not liable. I'm the corporation,
I'm liable,
RJ.
Right?
I'm not liable.
Yeah, you get the flu after taking one of my vaccines. It's too damn bad for you.
Or you die.
Or you die.
And it's
right?
too damn bad for your family, because try to take that into the vaccine injury court.
Right. There is none.
I mean, well, the thing is, right. there is one. But the problem is as Dr. Mikovits explains in the book, Plague of Corruption, it's been tainted, too.
Right. It's horribly corrupt. It's the DOJ and the HHS, the Department of Justice. So you, the injured, and it gets worse than that. In one case we did, 87-year-old man, flu shot 2015, died within, literally fell out of bed dead the next day. Clearly his home health care nurse and everybody was taking care of him. The people said, it was that vaccine. We watched him shake violently. We looked at all the other inflammatory things going on with this gentleman. We looked at his cardiac drugs. We looked at drug interactions and the interactions of the components of the vaccine. And we showed the cytokine storm. Just remember that word, because just literally we look for everything else. We do our job the way we would do anything. Find another cause. That's a hypothesis. You assume the vaccine didn't cause it, and the evidence is overwhelming that the toxins in the shot in the man who was 87, and all he wanted to do was go to his, I guess, association meeting, where he was in his retirement community. You had to have flu shots in order to go to the community center. And he's obviously an 87-year-old man is challenged with other things. And because they put natural causes on his death certificate, his wife lost their Social Security benefits upon which she was living. So it's so much more than just oh, you know, so because if it had said vaccine injury, not only would she have gotten the only compensation, $250,000. They put natural causes, and case after case, a little girl from Gardasil, natural causes. Her family had a seizure disorder. What are we seeing in who's vulnerable to COVID-19? You know, they're killing us and taking away our Social Security. And I'm going to say us because that's what I'm living on after they destroyed my life, my 82-year-old husband's Social Security. And an 80.1 is the average age of death. I'm like, don't you go out of this house, honey, because they'll take you up into the hospitals as nurse Aaron showed at Elmhurst Hospital in New York. And you won't have COVID when you go in there. And you can even test negative because, of course, you've never been exposed because I wouldn't allow my husband to have a flu shot or any shot for the last 7 years. And he's perfectly healthy ever since I stopped those pneumonia shots and flu shots. He was headed toward cardiac arrest before that. At any rate, he's perfectly healthy. At Elmhurst, killing those people, putting the uninfected and the most vulnerable, the most susceptible in the same ward as the others, as the proven effective and sick and the most susceptible. And then even if they don't have COVID-19, calling it that. Oh, as Deborah Burke said, oh, we're going to call it liberal. You walk in here with a cough, you got COVID-19. Well, my husband and I never stop coughing. So we've got to hide. This is insanity.
Wow.
And Dr. Fauci just said, I think it was yesterday, that we're going to have a problem with the vaccine because of the anti-vaxxers.
Yeah, right. We're the ex-vaxxers. We're going to have a problem with the vaccine because people are waking up. They can see the data and interpret it and can see what you're covering up. So, you know, why don't you show us the data? Every talk you've ever shown anywhere is this model or that model. Well, the data disproves all the models, and you admitted it in publications in the New England Journal of Medicine, February 28th of this year, with the masks in March when you said, oh, no, that's not going to do any good, with OSHA standards that have been maintained in facilities where people are working for decades for how much oxygen is required to maintain health and at what level it becomes dangerous. And for somebody like me I have a congenital pleurisy, I get fluid in the lungs. If I wear a mask and I get more fluid, I'm more susceptible. These are contagious through droplets, not through dry air. That's not how coronaviruses work. So anti-vaxxers really spent 40 years, the single best immune therapy, type 1 interferon, my first job 40 years ago. I make immune therapies. I help people prevent and cure disease. My PhD thesis changed the paradigm for HIV/AIDS. What happened to AIDS, folks? Ask yourself. We started using the right therapy instead of driving it towards Tony Fauci's patents. And our paperback plague released in 2017. The hardback was 14 before I knew about any of this. I had no clue why they took me out was vaccines. I thought it was the contaminated blood supply, but they cleaned that up. I had no idea. So when we wrote plague, that's why it's so highly scientific. I'm trying to do what I've always done, put the science to understand what was going on. And I just figured out it was a plague of corruption in 2014 when I saw Brian Hooker, another hero PhD who got the real science, not the statistics massaged models, got the real science on what was going on with MMR and autism, and uncovered how the CDC and William Thompson, through FOIA requests for 15 years, Freedom of Information Act, covered up the fact that if black boys were given MMR before they were 3 years old, and I'm going to tell you how evil that is, that there was a 4.4-fold increased risk of developing autism. White boys twofold before 3 years old. That very detox machinery, which we could appreciate, breaking down how we do, how certain populations degrade RNA viruses slower because of single nucleotide polymorphism, susceptibility loci we worked with in the 90s to try and understand why blacks get more aggressive breast and prostate cancer. Well, they're associated with their failure to break down the viruses associated with the chronic inflammation with those cancers, so they get more. Had they not covered this up in 2001, they could have saved tens of millions of families, lives, and children. That all they had to do was wait until that child was 3 years old and the relative risk went down fourfold. Really? You know, really? You had to give it at 18 months when, and you had to cover that up for 20 years. And that whistleblower, when Brian Hooker uncovered this in 2014, and that's why we wrote Plague of Corruption. That's when the light bulb went on. And I sent an email to those folks at the National Cancer Institute where we worked on those biomarkers, where we could have told you why they were susceptible if somebody hadn't covered up the data, used statistics, and buried the mistake. Well, now they're burying the mistakes of 40 years. They're going to call it all COVID-19. They're going to burn the victims, and nobody will really ever know, you know, what went on for 40 years. This is a tremendous cover-up, and we don't know what they're testing, so don't get any tests of any kind. Healthy people don't have COVID-19. That's ridiculous. You're healthy people, you don't have a disease, and you don't asymptomatic carry a retrovirus. So it's horrible. And the cover up goes directly to Tony Fauci for 40 years with chronic fatigue syndrome. We knew peptide T, that modulator, that safe modulator of the interaction of the macrophage and the T cell. My late friend and late colleague, Candace Pert developed in the 80s, the subject of the movie, Dallas Buyers Club. The FDA never approved it for human use. It could be used today to prevent the inflammation, that disease signature in COVID-19, like type 1 interferon. It doesn't matter to interferon what coronavirus it is. COVID-10, the one, the supposedly new strain with the D614G mutation, or corona infections of animals, low-dose oral interferon is safe and efficacious. You can see it in pigs, cats, mice, calves, poultry. Low-dose intranasal treatment can stop these fatal coronavirus infections, and yet we're lied to and not allowed to use it, and Merck took it off the market. And I was just reading an email I got yesterday from Joe Cummins, DVM, PhD, who spent a lifetime proving that, and with thousands of papers to show low-dose interferon, type 1 interferon, a curative for all of these, and a true vaccine adjuvant. We don't need the toxins. We're just not allowed to make a safe vaccine.
Yeah, I know. That's sad. And the thing is, as far as all of the jargon you were using, one of my attorneys wrote me and said it was a great show last week, Dave, but, you know, can't they come out with the COVID-19 for dummies, where they can deconstruct and explain all those abbreviations she was using? And I said, look, you know, you got to get the book Plague of Corruption and read it. I mean, that's the easiest way. And I tell you what, the science at first was very hard to get around, to get your head around. But once you start to understand about XMRVs, about these retroviruses that you were talking about, and how, you know, I mean, it all comes down now to moral scruples and whether or not you think that taking this vaccine will, in fact, and nobody's asking the question, if I take this vaccine, will it kill me? And they can't answer it, can they?
No, they can't. And in fact, they can answer it. It will kill the most susceptible. They know that. It will kill the people with the comorbidities. We know that. They have no control over their immune system. It will kill them just like that 87-year-old man. So, you know, we just wrote another book, Kent Heck and Lively. I should tell your audience that Kent Heck and Lively is a sixth-grade science teacher. He's also an attorney by training, so he knows how to ask the right question and uncovers it. So the reason that he writes Plague and co-writes Plague and Plague of Corruption is he backs it down for me and makes the science understandable. I'll go back and edit it to make sure it's scientifically correct. Because if it's not scientifically correct and we don't use those terms, then they'll just say, oh, that Mikovits doesn't know what she's talking about. And you can see this in the movie Plandemic. I tried to explain why the vaccines, and it's not just the coronavirus vaccine. Any vaccine, if we get any vaccine between now and November, they will say COVID-19 came back and it's your fault for taking off the mask and it's your fault for staying inside and it's your fault you're an anti-vaxxer or you're not an anti-vaxxer, you're a pro-vaxxer, you got the flu vaccine, blah, blah, blah. They're going to blame us. And they're going, you're going to drive the disease if you listen to them. All we can do is wake people up. So Kent Heck and Lively, Plague of Corruption. One of my friends wrote me and said, Judy, your writing style has so improved since the first book. And I chuckled because I was the one who insisted the science be detailed in the first book, because that way they have never said another word. If we're wrong, stop saying Judy Mikovits is stupid and just debate the data. I could care less if you call me stupid. It doesn't matter to me.
We don't think you are, which is why we had you on the show again. And as things develop and we get closer to time, when they start coming out with these vaccines, we're going to have you back on the program again. And we so thank you. We're out of time now. But this is Dave Krieger and RJ Malloy with Dr. Judy Mikovits. Once again, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll join you again very soon. In the meantime, stay safe, and I don't know about this mask thing, RJ.
Me neither.
Yeah. So, see you in May, too, folks. Go without fear.
Go without fear.